Well, we began this study basically out of 1 John 5:13-14, where John said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we have desired of him. And so that launched us into a study because that tells us how important God's will is. It should direct our lives. You know, that's how we, in our communication with God in prayer, we need to be mindful of his will and get into agreement with him. And his word reveals his will. His Holy Spirit leads us in his will. His will is the place of blessing, and sometimes doing his will can be require a lot of sacrifice. We've covered a lot of areas. We looked through a number of scriptures that it says this is the will of God. Like in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a number of scriptures that expressly state what God's will is. And so today we're continuing to deal with some of the hindrances and obstacles to knowing and doing God's will. We started out like with doctrine of wrong beliefs. If we don't believe the right thing, then you're not going to believe for the right things. You're not going to, you know, that's important. We talked about generational issues, about doubt and unbelief and fear. And today we're going to be talking about an area that's really, really important as well.
Today we're going to be talking about natural versus spiritual thinking. So what do we mean by that? Natural thinking, just the natural man versus the spiritual man.
Yes, and Paul, I love that section of scripture in 1 Corinthians 2. When you get down to verse 14, it says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And they're spiritually discerned. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. It's just, it may just, like, that doesn't make sense. That's foolish. So Paul says that, you know, when we're thinking with our carnal mind, we can miss God's will by a mile. Just because it may seem in our natural way of thinking to be the right thing doesn't mean it always is. So we need to be spiritually minded. The Bible has, there's a lot of different verses that talks about the kind of mind that we're supposed to have.
Yeah, mind of Christ.
Philippians 2, the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And also in Philippians, we're told about the things that we should dwell on and think on and meditate. That tells us what kind of thoughts should govern our mind. But to be spiritually minded is very, very important. We're told that the Holy Spirit wants to help us in our thought life.
Yeah. So Romans 8:27 says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the God through his Holy Spirit searches our hearts. And he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So
there's a difference between that and what the mind of the man is,
right.
Often.
You know, and we have to be willing to submit to the Lord to say, this is what I think or this is what I'm feeling, but I want to know your heart, your mind. And a lot of times as believers, we're walking with God, we do know the mind of Christ. We, you know, we are walking in that if we spend time in the Word and walking in the Spirit, but sometimes we have to ask the Lord, what is your mind in this?
Yes, and you kind of see the contrast here in these two schools of thought. Mm-hmm. You have the carnal mind. That's when we're being governed by the carnal man. Mm-hmm. Some of our natural thoughts and natural ways of thinking are not necessarily wrong, not necessarily inherently sinful. But when we use the term carnal thinking, then that is stating, hey, this is coming out of the part of our nature that is against God. And so it's going to go against the flow of the will of God. But the spiritual man is, as you have just shared, his thoughts are governed by the Holy Spirit. His thoughts will be in line with the Holy Scriptures. In Romans 12, another scripture we also talked about, because we had mentioned that 8:37 a week or so ago from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. But in back to Romans, it talks in 12, he talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can know what the perfect will of God is. So you can't interpret spiritual things with a carnal mind, not correctly. You can't discern them, the natural man. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And the natural man doesn't have the governance of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So that's so very, very important to be spiritually minded and not naturally minded. Even under the Old Testament, there's numbers of examples of people who wanted to think things out and do it their way instead of God's way. And for instance, Abraham, was given the promise by God that he and Sarah would have a child. Mm-hmm. They were along in years. Sarah was past childbearing age. And
he didn't figure it out himself.
Yeah, yes. He'd like, well, maybe I didn't interpret correctly what the Lord was saying. And Sarah was a compatriot with Abraham in this.
She was. So
they decided, well, you know what? We got a handmaiden over here, Hagar. And so Abraham can have sexual relations with the handmaiden Hagar and have a child. So that was a shortcut. And it was not what God said. He said that you and Sarah, mm-hmm. because when God told them, Sarah snickered. She laughed, because to her that was a far-fetched idea. It didn't make what?
Sense.
Because we cannot be led by what our eyes see and ears mm-hmm. hear in the Christian life. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit, who sees what we can't, knows what we don't. Mm-hmm. So Abraham tried the shortcut method with Hagar, and Ishmael was born, and it displeased the Lord.
And it wound up to be the long method.
yes. And it brought conflict in the household between Sarah and Hagar. And even today, the children of Sarah and the children of Hagar are in conflict, because that's where you have the Israeli people and also the Arabic people, mm-hmm. Which primarily is Islamic. Mm-hmm. And so there's still conflict there because of someone who just got to thinking naturally of, well, how can I bring about this promise? Because this is what God said. He wants us to have a kid. So, and we can do that today. I'm not necessarily saying that exact way, we can have kids.
Oh, it's very easy today.
Come up with plan B, because plan A is not happening as quickly as we would like.
Or sometimes we don't even stop. We're just so dependent on our natural thinking that there's a lot of presumption and assumption there, and we just go with our natural thoughts without stopping to ask mm-hmm. the Lord. David experienced that. There were times when he inquired of the Lord, do I go up? Do we fight this battle? And the Lord would say yes. But then there were times that he just thought it was a good idea and didn't inquire of the Lord and wound up to be disastrous.
And that's such a great point, because sometimes where we miss God's will is by assuming the next mm-hmm. time we get in a situation mm-hmm. that's similar, that God would want us to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that there's not times that's not the case, mm-hmm. but we always have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because, mm-hmm. for instance, Moses, when the people were thirsty, coming out of Egypt, he spoke to the rock and water flowed out. Mm-hmm. Later on, they were in a similar situation, and he got frustrated at them, and so instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it, he struck it. And that became the very reason he did not enter the promised land, because he didn't do it the way God had said the first time. So you have situations like that when, well, I did it this way last time, but as long as I get the same result, I'll do it this way. No, God may want you to do it a different way, as I just mentioned earlier, But God may want you to do it the same way. How can you know? By being led by the Holy Spirit. Because
the more time you spend in the Word, in fellowshipping with the Spirit, in God's presence, the more clearly you will know. But it's always good to inquire.
Absolutely. And that being spiritually minded means you bring in the wisdom of knowing, okay, I need to know what the will of God is. I need to know how I need to carry out the will of God. This, like, the will of God is for the people to have water. So how? You speak to the rock. The next time he struck it without inquiring, out of anger. The anger was the underlying issue, you know, to just, okay. And he got mad, and he violated what he knew the will of God to be. And then not only the how, what is the will of God and how to do it, but when to do it, the timing of the will of God. And you mentioned David earlier about going out to war. There's one occasion the Lord told him, yes, but don't do it until you see the wind blowing through the mulberry trees. In other words, sometimes God may tell us, we get, okay, this is what the Lord wants me to do, and we don't inquire about, well, Lord, what's this look like? How do you, and then we don't inquire about, well, when do you want me to do it? We just assume, well, he told me to do this, I'm going to get at it. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the words the Lord gives us, there needs to be the seeking out of the timing of because for David, if he had just gone on, even though the Lord said, okay, you're going to go into battle, but if he'd just gone on before the wind moved into mulberry, then he would have been out of sync with what God was doing. God's up to more a lot of times in things concerning God's will for our lives. Other people are involved in some way. I kind of see it like an army that God's moving, advancing into enemy territory. Well, in the army, the foot soldiers, often before they go in, God, the army will send the air power in and clear things out. And then the foot soldiers go in. Well, if they get their timing wrong, they might be ending up where they're not supposed to be, and they're where the drums are, the bombs are dropping. bombs are dropping. Yeah, I've got getting ahead of myself here. Which goes along with my point. the timing of the Lord, being in sync and being in step. And again, how can you do that and know that? By following and being led by the Holy Spirit, because he's always on time. He's always in sync.
I think it's a good prayer to have every day, just like, Lord, let me be led by your Spirit. I just acknowledging that we need to be led by the Spirit. And in this Western world, you know, America and the whole Western civilization, we're very dependent on our own thinking. We lean into our thinking more than even in some Eastern cultures who are very, it might not be godly, but supernaturally minded, where they're trying to discern supernaturally. So sometimes in our Western world, we can just go for it. We just think we know what to do, and we need to submit that to the Lord.
And sometimes in being able to get to what God is up to, it requires steps of obedience. Like, well, I just have a prompting that I'm supposed to go to, you know, and the Lord's laying in some heart. I don't really know why, but okay, Lord. And then you intersect someone else's life, which a minute earlier it wouldn't have happened, a minute later it wouldn't happen, but you're in the right place at the right time, and maybe through a conversation, or, hey, I was just thinking about you, or they said, well, I was looking for you, and then, boom, God begins to do what he wanted to do. Like Philip, in, for instance, in Acts chapter 8, where he's in a major revival in Samaria, but then he got the message from the Lord to head out into the wilderness, and he crosses path with an Ethiopian eunuch, and boom,
great example,
the eunuch gets saved, he gets baptized, and then history tells us he went carrying the gospel, and the gospel penetrated a new nation, new territory, because Philip, even though he had every reason to stay in Samaria where God was moving mightily, he was so sensitive, he knew, okay, God's got something else for me to do differently today. And then the Lord took him on from that place to Azotus. And he does that in our lives, but we'll miss it if we don't learn to be led by the Holy Spirit and have a sensitivity to the way, to the inclinations and promptings of the Holy Spirit. And that's maybe more of that at another time. Just to be spiritually minded. And all of that's involved in being spiritually minded.
I'm also thinking about when you were first filled with the Holy Spirit, not long thereafter you began to think, God's probably going to ask me to resign pastoring at this Baptist church. But you began to ask God what the timing was mm-hmm. on that. And it was actually 2 years, and a lot yeah. happened in that 2 years, including the experiences that I had, that got us ready for that transition. Mm. But if we just leaned on natural thinking, you might have thought, well,
now's the time.
Now, you know, this has happened.
I remember the morning when the Lord initiated the conversation with me. That's the whole, mm-hmm. of course, my story. That we would be stepping out. But then the wind, he confirmed it just as strongly, like you said, almost 2 years later. And it was powerful. And he honored that. He honored each of those in their own way. But that's the way we are called to live our life. We're to be governed by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we can't have a compartmentalized view of our Christianity. And by that I mean, well, you know, I'm working out in the secular world, and it's just what it is, and you tend to be natural-minded and secular-minded, but, well, it's Sunday morning. Okay, I can switch gears. It's spiritual, time to be spiritually. I go to church. I worship. No, it's good that you go to church and worship, but we're to be spiritually-minded 24/7. We don't compartmentalize that part of our life. The Holy Spirit will lead you on your job. He will mm-hmm. give you discernment in every area of your life, even in you're having fun. I remember like things that I used to love to deer hunt. I still do some, but when I would pray, Lord, tell me where to go, what stand to get in, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes I'd be in the woods and I'd feel, you need to go this way. And then I'm glad I did, because mm-hmm. brought home the meat. So
there's the Holy examples. I remember is many years ago when you were working and pastoring and going to school, and then you actually resigned your job, and we have a lot of money at that time, and
we didn't have a lot of money.
And I remember one day just feeling this urge to put the kids in the car and drive to Decatur, for we lived in Addison then, and walked into the store, and they had just marked down all their children's clothes to a dollar. There were racks and racks of them, and I got all the kids' clothes for the next couple of years, actually. Nothing. I brought home huge bags of clothes.
I remember it was several hundred dollars worth of clothes for,
and it was just
a fraction.
Kind of a hunch, we might say, or an urge. So God can lead us, even we call that spirit-led shopping.
that anointing might jump on some of them out there today to go to the mall.
Blame it on me.
But the Lord will do stuff like that. That's part of the favor and the blessing of the Lord.
Yeah, it provides
to intersect you with things that you've been praying for, or to use you to be an answer to what someone else mm-hmm. is praying for. That's kingdom living. But we're going to get in on a whole lot more of that by being spiritually minded, realizing that we can be led by the Holy Spirit, that we have the Spirit lives within us, and He can prompt us and bring scriptures to our mind, or mm-hmm. give us little word pictures or visions or things, directs us in ways like that, words of knowledge and open doors, like, wow, you know, it's amazing how that works.
Well, let me say one more thing about this. Vicki knows about spirit-led shopping. Pastor Doc has that same anointing. Yeah. It really does work. I've had it happen many times. But, you know, it just makes sense that God would bless us in that way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes as you're growing in this, and we always can grow in it, we never just become perfect. But as we're growing this, sometimes you might think, well, maybe the Lord is leading me to do this, and you step out and it doesn't work out, but He will train you as you are kind of just practicing, really, at hearing His voice. You know, I believe this is what the Lord's saying. I step into it, and then we get confirmation, or there's a little tweak on it, or He redirects, and over time we gain a lot more knowledge about how to be led by the Spirit, how to be in the will of God. And you know, the spiritual life is a life that we learn and grow in, and it's one of discipleship, and part of that can be making mistakes and learning and growing. But if your heart is set on God, then he is going to keep guiding you even if you misstep.
We're all helped and hindered in similar ways, and that's through humility and pride. And we humble ourselves, and that means we never get to the place where we're so cocky, well, I can't miss it, this is God, and we're not inquiring, and we're not being sensitive. Or we're so fearful that we might miss it, we never risk taking that step. You know, so we have to stay humble, and but that doesn't mean that there's not those bold steps. You know, it just means that we try to stay dependent on the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not me, this is the Lord. And when we miss it, just like when we're training our children, you know, you dust off, get up and go again. Even your missteps can mean progress if you learn from them. And I'm not...
Absolutely.
Well, I start to say I'm not talking about sinful things, but I believe that's true even... when we fall into some type of sin, you want to learn from it, repent of it, but get up and learn from it and be stronger going forward. Amen. Be spiritually minded.
Yes.
Not naturally minded.
So spend time in the Word, follow the Holy Spirit, fellowship with other believers, spend time in worship and time in prayer, and just keep walking with God, and you're going to learn more and more about how to walk in His ways.
Yes. Yes. And you know, it's the Holy Spirit when God begins to move. Some people might, I don't want you to misunderstand, I'm saying that you need to be mysterious and spooky and all that, you know, and trip people's breakers just from the way you're looking and acting. But internally, you're listening and looking for the Holy Spirit, you know, okay, Lord, step out there. And even then, it may, you know, it can be a little, it can be misunderstood by people, but as you said, we grow in it. Just like we learn to walk, we crawl and we toddle and we stumble, but we learn to walk. And I'm still learning, and you're still learning. We're all still learning, and that's a good thing. We got such a loving Father. He wants to teach us and train us to hear His voice because He wants us to do His will.
Right.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed this today, and we look forward to hearing some of your testimonies about how you heard the voice of God and how you walked in the will of God. We don't mind hearing some Spirit-led shopping testimonies too and other things. So be sure to share with us. But if you enjoyed today, hit the share button. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 10:30. Lord willing, the weather is... Yeah. We're praying that the weather over our region will not be destructive, and there will be safety over our region.
We speak peace to those storms and protection for the people in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
Be blessed.
Love you all.